Hey, podcast listeners. The Journal is excited to announce a brand new podcast series launching Friday, May 19th, called The Future of Everything. On the show, we'll explore how science and technology are revolutionizing everything from business and industry to culture and society. The Future of Everything podcast is sponsored by Slack. Companies all over the world depend on Slack every day to get everything done. Slack, where work happens. We look forward to you joining us as we embark on this exciting new series. So be sure to subscribe now by visiting wsj.com/podcasts or visit the Future of Everything page on your podcast app.
Amazon.com turns 20 this week as a public company. What a run the stock has had.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Amazon.com went public 20 years ago this week, and its stock has experienced a rise that other public companies can only dream about. Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig describes Amazon as the most super of the so-called super stocks, and he joins us now to talk about Amazon and the handful of other stocks that have propelled the stock market. First of all, Jason, can you tell us how much Amazon stock has gained percentage-wise since it went public in 1997?
Yeah, over the past 20 years, Charlie, Amazon stock is up just slightly under 49,000%.
Incredible. I think that's probably a record. So if somebody bought Amazon and just stuck with it through the initial peaks and valleys, he or she would probably be a rich person.
Yes, and that's a big if. Because the valleys were just unbelievably deep. You know, from the end of 1999 until the middle of 2001, Amazon stock lost 95%. And the thought that anybody who bought it before then was still around after that is a little far-fetched. Obviously, Jeff Bezos was. I'm sure a bunch of Amazon employees were. But not many outside investors would possibly have ridden it all the way down and then back up.
You write that super stocks are rare and that they've accounted for most of the stock market's gains over the long term. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, the idea here is that most companies whose shares are publicly traded are just stocks. But in every period, there's a handful of them that we can call super stocks that have enormous returns. And what I think is not very commonly understood is how rare these companies are. Almost all the returns of the stock market over time come from almost none of the companies. And in fact, basically a third of 1% of all companies that were in existence between 1929 and 2015 created half of the cumulative wealth that the stock market produced. It's just an incredibly small number.
That's amazing. And there are similar numbers over the longer term, not as long a term as 1926. I mean, it still holds.
Yes, absolutely. If you looked over the past 20 years, if you looked over the past 50 years, and of course, even in much shorter periods, there will be enormous winners. And most stocks just don't do very much. And about half of all stocks don't make money at all over their lives as public companies.
So without these super stocks, Jason, it essentially wouldn't be worth investing in the stock market. Is that the gist here?
Well, yes, although we have to remember the corollary to that, the part two, right, Charlie, which is that you do get these stocks if you invest in the stock market, as long as you invest in the entire stock market. And the very generous returns, roughly 7% after inflation over the past 90 years, that the stock market has generated has come primarily from a very small number of companies. But you kind of had to own all the companies over that period in order to have a high degree of confidence that you would end up owning the giant winners.
I'm speaking with Jason Zweig of The Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
You rely on The Wall Street Journal for informed market insights and news coverage. Now let WSJ Wine give you the inside track to the world's smartest wine buys delivered conveniently to your door. Highlights of your first case include a 99-point Super Tuscan and a gold medal Bordeaux from the exceptional 2015 vintage. Order now to receive over $100 in savings and free shipping. Simply go to wsjwine.com/sip or call 877-WSJ-WINE.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Jason, many of these stocks that earn the highest returns in the long run you say do the worst in the short term. How can you tell when or if a stock is a diamond in the rough?
Well, it's, you know, that's what investing expertise is all about, but it's also about self-control and emotional discipline. You know, nobody who bought Amazon at the very beginning and held it all the way through, except for company insiders, could possibly have done that without a really good fundamental understanding of what drives the company's cash flows. But you also would have had to have enormous emotional discipline to withstand a 95% loss along the way. And, you know, the way I like to think about it is that it's almost like fishing. You know, you can fish with a single pole and a single worm on the hook at the end, or you can fish with a really big net.
Yeah.
And most investors seem to like casting with a pole, with a rod, and one worm at a time, one fish at a time. But if you have a big enough net and you throw it over the entire body of water, you're going to get every fish that's in there, or pretty much every fish. And that way, you'll be sure of getting the ones that turn out to be the biggest fish.
Okay. It sounds like you're leading to something else. You earlier spoke of investing in the whole stock market. So shouldn't one just diversify his or her portfolio and invest in something like an index fund?
Yeah, absolutely. That's advice that, you know, we've been giving here at the Journal for a long time, and I've been giving personally for decades. I think the interesting wrinkle in this research that I wrote about in my column on Amazon is that it's not just that the winning stocks are rare. It's that when they do win, they win sort of beyond your wildest imagination. And an interesting wrinkle to the traditional advice, I think, is that if playing the stock market, to use the term a lot of people like to use, if playing the stock market appeals to you, then you should probably take at least 95, maybe 99% of your money and put it in a so-called total stock market index fund that owns basically every stock out there. But then take that little tiny bit that's left over and put it in one stock that you feel you understand better than the professionals do, or better than the other professionals if you're an expert. And if you're right, you could hit the jackpot. If you're wrong, you won't go broke doing it. And there is an entertainment value to investing, and a lot of people enjoy the process of studying a company and researching and learning about it, trying to figure out where it's headed. And that could be an excellent way to combine those two approaches.
Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Coming Friday, May 19th, the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.